All right, on this episode of Bare Knuckle Radio, very excited to be talking with an individual who competes at BKFC 57, which all goes down on February the 2nd. We have Chris Garcia knuckling up and towing the line against Albert Inclin, and great having Albert on the show. How's your day going so far there, man? I imagine pretty good since you just got off training and all.
Yeah, we just actually finished up in the gym. I just got out the ring. Like, when you were calling me, I was walking up to my phone.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, catching you at a great time for sure, and just seems like a great journey overall. I mean, this seems like a massive card. Like, what was the initial set of thoughts when this bout offer came your way for this event? Cause it seems like it's kicking off, well, not kicking off the year in as far as, like, it's the first card, but, like, a big event early on in the year. Like, what were your thoughts getting this initial bout offer and everything?
Finally, after, I was a little skeptical at the beginning. I was offered it before I got the contract, but this was like about my third fight that I was offered, and I entered two fight camps already before, so it was like a little mixed emotions. And so I got the actual contract, and then we knew, okay, it's go time.
Yeah, and it seems like you were wanting to maybe get in there a bit sooner than, you know, what panned out, like talking about like a longer, you know, sort of layoff in a certain sense. But like, I mean, do you almost feel like you're showing like an entirely new set of skills with this one because there has been that kind of longer layoff? I mean, ultimately, I imagine you would have wanted to be a touch more active, but like, did the layoff benefit you in any sort of way or?
Yeah, for the most part, I believe everything happens for a reason. So as much as I didn't like the layoff, I'm gonna just trust the process that everything happened for a reason. And regardless, I had some personal stuff in my life, but I was still trying to fight through it. But now it's kind of everything's cleared up. So I'm looking forward to a dominant performance. I have to, man. There's no other way around this. I can't go the distance. I'm going to look like a regular fighter.
So that's something you're specifically mapping out for this fight, stopping Chris Garcia inside the distance for this one to really make that statement?
Yeah, and my last fight, bro, I don't know if it was documented, but my mom had passed a week before that fight. And throughout the whole camp, I was having to go through it with her while she's battling cancer. And I had emotions, but I had to block those emotions. So with this fight, man, yeah, it sucks that she's not here, but I know she's at peace now. So now it's my last fight. It was blocking the emotions and handling business. And as soon as I got to South Carolina, I wanted to leave already. But with this one, especially because it's in Florida and it's a big card, and I'm expecting a lot of big names to be at this card. So I have to show down. I got to show out. I have to. There's no other way around this.
Yeah, and I had seen a post relating to that, and my condolences for the loss, but I think it really shows just the tremendous amount of strength and resilience. I can't even imagine all that going on and then trying to focus on, you know, doing something like this. So, I mean, just not really a question in there, but just wanted to give my condolences and, I mean, massive kudos because, I mean, just so much mental fortitude and resilience to be able to do that. So big shout out there, man.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
But like you were kind of saying in there, like you almost feel like, because, I mean, obviously still going to be a loss that you think of for sure, but like because you're a bit more removed from it, like you think this upcoming fight will be a chance to provide a more like comprehensive performance almost, or like a more, I guess, clear-headed one for a lack of a better way to phrase it, I guess?
Yeah, very clear-headed. With my last fight, bro, I went into that fight like a suicide. I take every fight like a suicide mission. And I say that as a, there's no return. So every time I go out there, I don't plan on coming. No, I know it sounds dramatic, but I take this as I'm going on a suicide mission. So if he's going to get me, it's going to take everything. He might almost have to die to get me if it goes that way. But I don't see him getting me. It's been a long road, man, just to get to this point. And I really want to stop this, bro. Stop this guy, man. My bad, what was the original question? My head goes from one thing to another within seconds.
No, you covered it, man. I mean, we're just having a chat anyway, so kind of just flowing between subjects and stuff like that, or at least that's kind of how I'm looking at it. But yeah, no, it's interesting because I feel like in some of your previous fights and even from mapping out some fights going ahead, it seems like, you know, you enjoy a little bit of the banter. I actually talked to your last opponent, Devin Gibson, and he's like, oh yeah, like, we're having like a little bit of fun with like the online banter, but he was talking about how you seem to kind of, you know, talk about everybody. Like, is that just a part of the game that you enjoy? Like, does the, yeah.
I am not a Brandon Lambert where I'll just start looking at somebody and talking shit. So it's just like, with me, I had a couple of issues with people who happen to be friends with everybody else. And you know how this fight game works. Everybody wants to jump on that bandwagon of talking shit to people as if it's a joke. With me, you got to be ready because I got comebacks that aren't retarded, that aren't stupid remarks. Like, I got some solid comebacks. I'll hit you where it hurts. And that's kind of where it gets people. It's like, bro, if you're going to come at me, just know I'm going to come at you and I'm not going to stop. Same shit with Wilson. Wilson ran his mouth before I fought Gibson, and I thought I was cool with Wilson. Wilson ran his mouth so much. And I thought that was supposed to be my fight after Gibson. But then Wilson started changing his mind and started getting cold feet. So anybody I've ever had issues with, it sounds crazy, but they were actually the first ones to throw the rock. And I just happened to throw a whole boulder at their ass. They throw a rock and I throw a boulder, if that makes sense.
No, that's a good way to put it. Like, was that the case with, I mean, at least this is kind of what I was picking up on as a couple beefs, quote unquote. Like, it seemed like Travis Thompson and J.R. Ridge were a couple of guys you exchanged some words with. Was that like the case with that?
J.R. Ridge, well, I wanted to fight Travis Thompson because he had beat David Morgan a few years ago, and David happens to be from Arizona. So I just didn't like that an Arizona fighter lost. So that's kind of where it started with Travis. And plus, Travis is so easy to get mad. So sometimes I just like messing with him just to hear him get mad. It's pretty easy. And then with Ridge, so he was the guy that I was supposed to fight. I forgot what day, what month it was. But he was the last opponent that I was supposed to fight in Florida. But he was asking for too much money, talking about, I just fought for a world title where I look like fighting you. And then I replied with, bro, like, It's annoying that people use it as an accolade. Like, no, dude, you got your ass kicked, and you try to take the easy route out with an eye injury, and they didn't let you. So, like, don't come at me with you fought the top guys, this and that. Yeah, you fought some solid dudes, but, like, no, bro, you don't come at me like you're not, I'm not qualified. Who else are you going to fight? You fight everybody else in the division. So he was just asking for too much money. I'm a high-risk, low-reward fighter at the moment. It's a lot of risks to fight me, and there's not much of a reward to fight me.
Just like in what's, I mean, I understand, I think, the first part of what you're saying, for sure, but, like, what do you mean by the second part? Like, maybe just, like, the profile isn't there? Like, maybe they think they can get higher-profile guys in terms of, like, their...
Yeah, so, like, Ridge, he can't take another... I mean, he can, but it just wouldn't look good if he took a loss against somebody like me with no accolades. And fight week, I actually made a sweater that says no accolades. Because that's going to be my slogan at this moment now. Because everybody wants to talk about Albert having no accolades and no this and none of that. But if the promotion is offering you a no name, why not take it unless you're fearful of that no name?
I guess I'm curious because you just... Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I guess it was just a delay on my end there. But I guess just you were talking about the mentality of not wanting to, I guess, like, take those consecutive losses and be in that type of position.
They
offered
me, after my Gibson fight, they offered me a last-minute title fight at 135. And the only reason I didn't take it was because my coach was in Seattle with some pro boxer, David Benavides, who's over there with them. So I didn't have a corner. So I couldn't go to the fight. They offered me Reggie, and then they offered me Keith Richardson twice at 135. But I've been telling them I'm a 125er. That's where I want to start at. I'll come up to 35 when I have the title.
That's interesting. So the path ideally for you would be to eventually contend for that flyweight title presently held by John Dodson and then try to get that champ sort of recognition at bantamweight afterwards?
Yeah, so my goal is I want to be the one to dethrone Dobson and bare knuckle. He already lost his last bout in MMA because he's getting older. By the summertime, he's already going to be a little bit more older. So the longer he waits with that bout, the worse it's going to get for him. He did agree to fight me next if they offered it to him. So if I could piss Dobson off enough where he's actually asking for me, then it's a win for me. I fight him, yeah, it's going to be a high mountain to climb, but that man's comfortable. He is comfortable with his life. I am hungry. It's a big difference from us. If he gets overwhelmed, I see him taking a knee. You overwhelm me, bro, you're going to have to kill me because I'm not going to lose. Dobson's okay with, he's content. You know, he had a good career. Would I beat Dobson, I defend the title about 3-4 times, and then I move up. I don't want to move up right away because that's not what a champion does. You have to clear out your division. It's an honor. It's a privilege to have a double champ. You don't just do that shit because, you know? So those are my goals. You just get the bout and then eventually go up to 35. It's just the inactivity. That's what it is for me. I don't like being inactive.
Yeah, and I mean, with this one being a bantamweight fight, would the ideal idea be, I guess, to get, I mean, not overlooking this fight, but just in talking about the flyweight sort of focus, like, would...
It's a catchweight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's listed as a, yeah.
So they offered me Garcia, I accepted the catchweight, and then he offered me Russell, because I guess Russell was coming down to 25 now. I've been asking for these fights. I've been asking for the Russell, the Andrew Strode, the other Cuban or Puerto Rican cat, the tall kid. I've been asking for all those guys. It's just, you know, they think that I'm not going to take the fight, and I end up taking the fight, and they say they never send the contract. I've been offered names, and I accepted them all. Any guy at 125, I have accepted. I wasn't supposed to win that fight with Gibson, man. So what? They weren't planning to push me at all. They only like me because I'm winning and I could talk shit good. But if I was losing, I expect they would have maybe brought me back sooner. I'm not fighting no bums. All these other guys, all these Florida guys, they fight bums and they build up a record of 100% KO rate over bums. Look who I fought. Yeah, Diaz might not be the best skilled fighter, but Diaz was training with Joey Diaz, the current champ at the time. He was in Mexico. I'm at an open gym by myself. That was my first fight. Second fight, Devin. Third fight, another undefeated fighter. So my next fight after this is probably going to be another undefeated fighter. I'm about to be collecting these infinity stones of these undefeated fighters.
And would you say, I guess, that's the biggest difference between, like, the first fight preparations versus where you're at now? Because I did see a post a few weeks ago at JL Boxing Academy working with Sonny Edwards, who's obviously very accomplished. Like, is the, I guess, level of the people you're getting in work with now the biggest difference in your subsequent BKFC fights as compared to how you prepared for the first one there?
Yeah, I'm around with pros, and I have time. So there's a lot of things that he's helped me clean up, and just he helped me a lot with the weight cut. My first weight cut was really bad. That's why I was drinking the whole water bottles in the corner with Diaz when I fought him, when you're not supposed to be doing that as a fighter, but I just didn't have no liquids in me. He just helped me clear it up. Yeah, Sonny Edwards, he's been there. He's seen a lot of things, so picking his brain apart on some things and how to move around and just on how to deal with the lights. You know how to deal with being known and how to block out the noise. Not just shit and fighting. I ask, like, real-life questions on how to navigate through life.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I imagine a great learning tree to, you know, be under there. But just in talking about the differences there as far as, like, how you might curate your camp, because I imagine a lot Sonny can impart to you. For sure, but there are differences between gloved and bare knuckle boxing, as you well know. Like, what are, I guess, some specific measures you do as far as like training for bare knuckle? Like, I know some guys will do certain hand strengthening techniques or whatever. Like, do you have anything unique?
Yeah. The guys, man, that's why when they do all these hand drills with these hands hitting the board, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm not doing that shit. My my hands hurt already, but they hurt if I do that. But listen, I've been in enough street fights. It's weird because when I fought street fights, I wouldn't fight with a street fighter mentality. When I fought in the street, I fought with a boxer's mentality. I boxed. So all of my street fights, I was really educating myself. Before I knew I was going to fight somebody that I knew a beef was coming, I was training for the guy without him knowing. You know, these just little things that I knew were coming up, okay, I'm going to start training. So I came up to a lot of boxing, the same shit that boxers do. It's just, I know the difference on how you can move in a boxing ring than how you can move in bare knuckle. And the simplest way I tell people is bare knuckle is a tiger in the jungle. Boxing is a tiger in the cage. That's the only way I could describe it. When you do bare knuckle, I'm free. I get to move the way I move. Boxing, you got to be a little technical. You got to be a little perfect. So my drills aren't really different. My hands, I got enough calcium on these knuckles that shit don't really hurt me. The last two fights, my hand wasn't injured when I left. They were perfectly fine.
Yeah. And No, I was just going to say, I feel like that seems like one of your more noticeable attributes. Like, I mean, even going in like a slightly different direction with it, like I was noticing that an anecdote from your BKFC tryout session involved you recovering from a gunshot wound you'd actually suffered prior to the tryout. So it seems like all these things you're just so resilient with. Like, is that something you've always had in you, that resilience and ability to overcome a lot of these situations? Because it seems like you'll be faced with certain circumstance where you just try to like work through it and look at the positive, whereas a lot of people would probably wilt in a similar situation. Is that something you've always kind of had within you, that sort of dogged determination and all?
Yeah, I get that from my mother. She was a very strong-willed type of person, a very little stubborn too. So I get everything that I am and how I operate, I get it through her. I'm a very believer in the higher-ups. And, yeah, I was shot for the first tryout. I actually hurt my back at the tryout. I was pretty hurt for a couple of weeks after that. So, it kind of sucked for the first tryout. But it's just my life, bro. I've learned, as much as this shit sucks sometimes, it's just how my road is supposed to be. It's going to be really hard because once I get there, I'm gonna understand the blessing, and I'm not going to take it for granted. How some people do when they become rich and famous and they become a star, you know, they let the shit get to their head. I'm remembering all these times, so when I get there, you know, I stay leveled, I stay humbled, because it's, yeah, you could lose it just as fast. It's not even as fast as you get it. It takes longer to get it, but you could lose it within seconds. So I've always been like this. Anytime anything comes at me in life, I know I can't lay down and give up, so I just got to grab my balls and keep it moving.
Yeah, you just love to see that, and it seems like from what I saw on social media, like, you seem like a very dedicated dad, too, so just carrying those teachings through the generations. Like, I imagine you're imparting to your kids what your, you know, mom was able to impart to you.
No, if we can note this, so I actually got shot by my in-laws, so I'm a very loving, dedicated father. But I can't see my child because of so much internal shit going on. And so I'm stuck in a sticky situation. If I give up boxing and I focus on getting my daughter, yeah. But then I won't be able to give her the future that she really needs. So right now I got to squeeze my balls. And, like, it sucks, man. You know, as much as I'm a savage, I'm very loving. I love kids. I want kids. It just sucks, you know? Is watching everybody else be a father. When you have a kid, you can't be a father too. And then the whole going to court, like, I'm currently going to court because I pressed some charges against the mother because she assaulted me with some random guy one time. And it sucks, but I got to do it the right way. Because if not, you know how it goes. The father always gets in trouble. So it's, yeah, I'm a dedicated father if I could be, but it's, bro, you don't understand how, like, dark I got set up and I got shot by my in-laws. I crashed my car. I ended up being homeless, and I had to sleep next to the freeway by my work so I can get to work on time. So I would go home to my mom's trailer, take a shower, take the bus back to my work around 9 p.m., and sleep next to the freeway so I can make it there by 6:30 in the morning because I lived on the other side of town. But, you know, throughout those whole times, I would just laugh. I would picture what my life would be. I didn't know what bare knuckle was. I just knew I was good at it, and I would pray. I was really praying, man, that somebody would come around and make bare knuckle legal. I knew combat sports would be the future of sports because you can't – it's hard to rig a fight. You can rig a sports game, but it's hard to rig a fight. So, yeah, bro, this has been my whole life through the dark times. That's why manifestation's real. I don't know if you believe in that stuff, man, but that stuff is real.
No, I mean, it's powerful stuff, man. And I mean, just hearing your journey, I mean, it really just fleshes out this, like, broader story of overcoming a tremendous amount where a lot of other people would probably have packed it in or at least taken some sort of negative perception related to it. But it really seems like you try to, you know, get the most out of it and grow from it. So, love to see that.
This is what changed everything, man. Not many people believe this, but this is when I changed. Like, I started looking at life for what it is. After I got shot, I was on the light rail, and I got off, and I was around nothing but tweakers, like those perk heads that smoke fentanyl. Like, I see nothing but that at the bus stop. I'm talking to myself like, bro, you're mid-20s, you ain't got shit, and you're around everything you didn't want to be. And I was talking to God as I was getting off the light rail, and it was kind of raining, so it was even worse. I found a I live by these fortune cookies, and I have a whole box of them that I'll send you pictures here. I don't think I'm lying. But this fortune cookie, I asked God, show me a sign. As I'm walking later, that same couple minutes later, I pick up a fortune cookie that said, never give up. And ever since that, I actually have a picture of it, and I posted it recently. Ever since I got that fortune cookie, I don't sweat anything that's happened, even if it's the worst thing that happened. You know, the worst thing already happened. I lost my mom. So, like, there's nothing that could happen at this point that's going to, like, make me feel anyway. I'm gonna just get up and I'm gonna treat it like it's a good day.
Well, I mean, that's an incredibly inspiring thing and a great way to, you know, look at the situation and all these situations you've outlined. So, I mean, I feel like that could be a great note to end things off on, but just in the spirit of wanting to, you know, put the ball in your court, Albert, I'm wondering if maybe there's a final parting thought you'd like to add as we're kind of wrapping things up here, man.
No, we can end it on that. Just know, dude, on a personal note, they're in for a very, very interesting journey with me. As long as they keep bringing me back and don't make me have to go to boxing, because I don't want to go boxing. I'd rather stick to bare knuckle, but activity is what I want. But just know, we're about to begin for a good road. I hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah, well, I mean, starting off the year pretty early here in a massive card with BKFC 57, and definitely excited for, you know, what's going on February 2nd there with this Chris Garcia fight. But really just wanted to thank you for coming on Bare Knuckle Radio, man. You have a good rest of your day, Albert, and looking forward to peeping the fight when it goes down, too.
I appreciate you. Thank you. And hey, man, listen, off record, if you're going to place a bet, you better place it on me if the odds are the same. Because last time the odds were bad, and my boy, he betted 1,000 and won himself 6. So you want to win some money, you bet on me. On a personal note, off record. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, if people are so inclined, I mean, I guess that shows the growth of the sport, too. The fact that there's, like, a couple, I guess, sites out there now where you can kind of do that if you're so inclined to gamble. I'm not saying anything one way or the other about it, but, yeah, people can do what they want, I suppose. But, yeah, no, just to reiterate, excited for this Chris Garcia fight coming up, man, and you have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
See you, man. Thank you. Have a good one.